Hello, everybody. Jake and Gino here, and today we're discussing the conveyor belt strategy and market cycles. Gang, it's not where you start in this business that counts, but where you finish. Many of us start out with deals that we wouldn't buy later in our careers. I know the first deal that Gino and I bought was a 25 unit. You know, it probably wouldn't fit the buy bucket nowadays, but that's what we're here to discuss today. Today, Gino is going to break this down using the conveyor belt analogy while weaving in the market cycles. Gino, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Jake. And today, I think the theme of the podcast should be get going and then get good. And what I mean by that is a lot of us are paralyzed by fear. Like we're afraid to take the next step. I think fear comes from not being prepared to take that next step. And that's what we do at Jake and Gino. We teach students how to take that next step. Go to jakeandgino.com/webinar, sign up for monthly webinars. We have online free webinars every month live with Jake and myself, either going through a deal, sharing student deals. And when you're looking at deals, one of the biggest mistakes that students make is they come on board and they say, well, I need deals. Well, let's pull back first of all. The first thing we have to think about is what's a good deal for you at this particular point in your career? You may want to be doing JVs and getting 100 unit deals, but do you have the capital? Do you have the experience? And when I heard about the conveyor belt, Jake, everything changed for me. I was blown away. And when you hear people say you make money in real estate when you buy, it can be partially true, but the real money is made in real estate when you exit. And this is where the power of the conveyor belt comes on. As an investor, your goal is to buy as many assets as you possibly can. That's what the goal is, to put them on this imaginary conveyor belt. You want those assets to continue to matriculate. And that's why it takes a little bit of time to build wealth. Because if you buy a home today, you're buying a single family home today, you put it on your conveyor belt, in a year or two, you get a little bit of cash flow. But by year two, you have that equity appreciation. You want to get that asset off the conveyor belt, whether it's a refinance, you're getting capital pulled out, or you sell it. You've got equity. You turn that equity that you created into cash flow by investing it into another deal, not by buying a Lambo, not by going on vacation. You need to continue to get that equity off of your conveyor belt and working. And at some point, you're going to start being able to buy deals on your own. When you get into multifamily, the great thing about it is there's so many different ways to get deals on your conveyor belt. Most of us, we start out small. Jake and myself, we started out with a 25 unit. That was our first deal on the conveyor belt. It took us 18 months to get on that conveyor belt. The second deal came 3 months later. After 3 months, we've got 60 units. Coincidentally, 2 years after that very first purchase, we've got about 400 units. That first deal is coming off the conveyor belt because we're refinancing it. It's still staying on our conveyor belt, but we're able to pull that equity out and go out and buy another deal. That's the mindset and the focus that I want you to think of as an investor, trying to buy these assets and trying to get that asset to actually matriculate and to grow in equity so you're able to tap into that equity and pull that equity and put it into another deal.
You can't discount the power of reps and getting a deal done either, because I think so many people are waiting for that unicorn on their first deal. And our first deal was rough. It took us a lot of time to reposition it. I'm not suggesting that.
Give us a couple stories. Give us a couple stories of roughness, because this is what it takes. It gets get going and you get good, because all of a sudden
I don't want to scare people off from ever investing, Gino.
No.
I'm making a joke. So I'll get into it because he asked for it. So they were weekly renters. They only paid with cash. There was no screening going on. They had a list of people who are on the naughty list to not lease to. The septic fields failed within the first, 3 months. We were self-managing and figuring out from the front end, so we had no clue what we were doing. I mean, the list goes on and on. It was awful. And so the key is, though, that we got that first deal done, we got those reps in, and then we learned from that, and we were able to grow, buy better deals, keep them on the conveyor belt. We still own this deal, our first deal, to this day, and we plan on keeping it for a very long time. It does really well. But I think that the thing is, I'm saying that, you know, Not in like a way that you should not do a good deal on your first deal, because I think it was a very good deal. We bought it right. We kept it on. We were able to refinance it. But maybe humble yourself in the sense that maybe you go a little smaller on your first deal to get the reps in, so you get that first one done. Then the brokers are going to take you more seriously. because it is important to get that first one over the line. Otherwise, you stay in this paralysis by analysis, continuing to educate forever, and nothing ever happens. That's where you don't want to be. So there's this fine line of making sure you get the first deal done, but also buying it right in order to get the process started and that conveyor belt started. Because if you don't, you're going to think multifamily is a pie in the sky, and ultimately your career is going to die there.
Jake, two things that really saved us on that very first deal. The first one is we bought it right. We bought it at a great price point. We bought the asset where there was a lot of income and there was a lot of valuation through operation. We didn't know what that meant at the time, but you looked at their balance sheet and their income statement and their T12s. They really didn't have T12s. It was scratched out, but you saw that they're paying for cable. Their contract services were out of control and their income was actually pretty good, but we were able to build back some of the stuff. And it was a sense of getting going and then getting good. I was fortunate that I actually invested in my education up to this point. So I already knew certain things that the average investor, when they take over their first property, doesn't know. And I was able to pick up the phone and call my mentors and say, here's the problem. What do we need to do? We're getting sued because someone has bed bugs. What do we need to do? Uh-oh, all of a sudden somebody just passed away in the unit. What do we need to do? And it comes back to it, another one of those things. But if we wait for all the lights to turn green, you're never going to do a deal. And the other thing that we did, I think correctly, was we partnered up. If I was doing this deal by myself, would I go into the next deal? I don't know. I remember Jake and myself on the phone all the time on that first deal, going through strategy, going through the income statement, going through the bank accounts, doing this for the first time, going on the property, hiring resident managers, working together with somebody really, I think, helped us out, held us accountable, and we were able to work together and solve all these problems as they popped up. And there's going to be problems. You're either going to have problems in your job or your small business or multifamily. I choose to have problems in multifamily because they're much bigger and much better problems to solve because you're going to make more money. When I'm at the restaurant and somebody's complaining about a $12 lasagna, that's pretty freaking annoying. But when someone has a problem with one of their units, well, that rent is $1,000 for the month. I'd rather solve that problem right there. And I'd rather have all of the benefits of multifamily, whether it's the principal pay down, the taxes, the cash flow, the appreciation, all those benefits far away the problems that I was having at my restaurant. So that's the way I look at it, Jake.
Yeah. So Gino, discuss how those deals have changed as we've grown and scaled, because the first deal that, you know, I alluded to in the beginning of the show, it's a lot different than the stuff we're buying now. Discuss that evolution a little bit.
Well, Jake, we learned what the three pillars of real estate are. We've trademarked it. The concepts have been out there. And when me and you were out there in the beginning, we were buying everything. We really didn't have an exit strategy. Was the exit strategy to buy this thing and hold it forever? For a lot of the deals, it was, and we've held them. But there are some deals that we've bought and we've exited. So I think every time you look at a deal, look at it individually and think about what your exit strategy is. Not all deals are there to be able to hold them by long term. Some of them you may see a nice chunk of equity and say, I'm going to reposition this asset. And in 12 months, not really crazy about the market, I'm going to flip out of it. So the three pillars of real estate are market cycle, debt, and exit strategy. Back in 2011 and 2012 and 2013, it was a buyer's market. So prices were really cheap. You could go out and buy value-add properties that were distressed, these C properties, at a good price. Over the last couple of years, that pricing has gone away for C properties. Now it's starting to come back. So back then, we were buying distressed assets, older assets, because we know there was a lot of value in them, and we could put a ton of money into the rehab and still come out way ahead. Now, in this part of the cycle, we're starting to buy assets that are a little bit newer. Assets that we like that have better median incomes that we were buying back in the day. We didn't know what a median income was years ago. We didn't really focus on the unit mixes. We were just looking for, quote unquote, the good deals. We got lucky because we used the buy right, the finance right, and the manage right. We were buying these assets at good prices. We were financing them really well, whether it was creatively, whether it was community debt, or we were refinancing to Fannie and Freddie, and we were learning how to manage these assets properly. So when you're buying a deal in today's current climate, you need to focus on what your buy right criteria is. Focus on that, what that looks like, and start looking at deals. Right now, assets that are a little bit newer are more attractive because you need to have less CapEx going into these deals. Since these prices are so high, if you need to add a lot of additional capital into them, the buying process, the buy right, is not going to work out as well as when we were buying them years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. The term of your debt is sort of the length of time that you're going to have it on the conveyor belt in that first round. So you have that, say, 5-year term on that first deal. You put it on there for 5 years. and you get to know each other a little bit. You get intimate with your deal and you see if it's going to be a long-term relationship. And if it is, to Gino's point, you exit into what is a refi. You pull some of your cash out, but then you put it back on the bigger conveyor belt next door, which may be a 10-year ride on that one, and you continue the journey. It's a very interesting concept.
I love that. Jake, one more thing I want to say, though, is when you're going out and you're in multifamily, learn all of the different strategies, because one deal may work really well as a joint venture, not using any kind of else's capital. Just Jake and Gino are partnering up. There may be some deals that look really well and you're starting out. So get them a syndication, get them on, raise capital, get your acquisition fees. They're on the conveyor belt. In 2 to 3 years, you're probably going to sell that deal out, get a nice chunk of change and be able to repurpose it. Some deals may work well by yourself because you can creatively finance them or you have your own capital. So make sure that you use all of the different strategies and techniques when you're looking at a deal and look at every single deal individually. Think of the exit strategy and think of what strategy or technique you want to do to take that deal down.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point of that term, because ultimately you're going to be able to hone in your business strategy over that 5 to 10 year term. Some of the deals that come onto the conveyor belt, maybe you realize I don't like that market, or I don't like this part of town, whatever the case may be, or I don't like this asset type. Or maybe the specific class or the median income of that asset, those can shed off your conveyor belt in the form of a sale. The rest of them go on for a longer period of time. And it really does it gives you that time to get intimate with the property, know what you like, hone in your business plan, and then ultimately create something for the long term. Because you know what, Jake and Gino, what we like to say, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think of decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.